Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Your host. Today's show is called The Political Think Tank. Let's just say we're lobbying for some new ideas. If you tuned into last week's show, you heard us talking about there being some rumbling within the Tea Party about overthrowing our government. It's being said that it could take place this November 3rd if the November 2nd elections did not produce a change in leadership. But is that the will of the people? The act of overthrowing the government is called treason, punishable by up to life in prison. In this country, the act of voting is considered your voice. So this November 2nd, that's why it's vitally important to get out and vote. But on today's show, we thought we'd send our newly elected officials into their new offices with some fresh ideas. But the promise But we promise you, I guess I should say, we will not overthrow you if you disagree. Well, let me begin by introducing my co-host, Mr. A.J. Houston, and also one of Dallas's hottest DJs and club promoters, Mr. Kundalini. Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Kun? You doing all right? Mr. Kundalini.
What's going on?
Well, listen, guys, we got a lot of topics to talk about, and we want to say to the audience, if we hit any that you'd like to chime in on, the number to call is 347-850-8390. But what we wanted to kind of address are the issues that a lot of times the politicians will vote, I guess they'll vote for, but we don't necessarily agree with them, and we wonder sometimes, are they listening to their constituents, or are they voting along their party lines, or if they're, I don't know, sometimes their views on some of the things they vote on are just strange. So today we thought we'd let them know what we think. So the first topic I wanted to get into was, how do we bring down this deficit? I looked today and found that our deficit right now is at $13 trillion and some change. How do we get back to the days of the surplus we had with Bill Clinton?
My thing is, see, first off, after what happened with the market, see, it's kind of hard to get back to the deficit until you get everybody working again.
Get back to the surplus.
Yeah, no, I'm saying to even attack the deficit. Until you get everybody working again, because right now you have employment's at an all-time high. You have the battles with Social Security, because that's money that they want to corporatize so somebody can make some money on. But there's a lot of things that has to be done to actually get people working, get people feeling good about their economy again, because it's kind of hard to, you know, talk about money when most of the people's not working at all.
Okay. Well, Kundalini, what do you think?
I can definitely agree with that. I would also say, though, I think at the same time that some people, we need to teach people better ways of doing business, especially within some of the minority aspects of the community, because I run into a lot of people that just, like, their business habits and business, I won't say savvy, because some of them know, but they know better, but the way that they're handling it is not in such a fashion that's benefiting them on actually profiting. You know, they're barely getting by. And some of them have some really good situations where they're just not really, you know, grabbing it by the reins and taking a hold of it and doing what they need to do with it. It's kind of like, if it go good, it go good. If it don't, it don't. You know, everything's a problem. Everybody is a reason why it's not going the way it should be, when really they should just kind of take it and run with it. I run into that a lot on my end of dealing with independent businesses. So I don't know how it is in the corporate world. I deal with a lot of people that have independent situations. So, I mean, that's just my suggestion.
But I thought two ways that we could address it is, first of all, let's stop bailing out everybody. Maybe sometimes some of these situations just need to collapse and then they start again, you know, however they start again, if they start again. But just bailing out everybody, that's making the taxpayers responsible for somebody else's poor business habits, and I don't think that's fair. And I think the second thing is all the pork barrel spending. That's not fair. So I think we should stop electing so many attorneys in these positions, and maybe put some accountants in there, maybe some people who can count, because obviously they're spending and being very wasteful in the way that they're taking care of our tax dollars. So
I would agree with that. I think, though, And I could be wrong. Y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. But that word bailout, I think they need to choose something different in using those words, because bailout, doesn't that mean you're supposed to be out of the situation, not still in it?
Ooh, very good. Yeah, very good. I completely agree.
Because if you're still in it, that's not a bailout. I don't know what that is, but it's not a bailout.
Well, then let's go forward then. So, are these stimulus packages something that the government should be doing? Are they helping, or are they just really giving false starts?
Well, I think first off, you know, when it started, it was actually to bail out the companies that were in control of the industry. So, and I'm agreeing with you, like you said, that some of them shouldn't have gotten the money. And I think one good example is the one of the groups that first paid back the money that had such a problem getting it after they bailed everybody else out was the auto industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, auto industry. You know, once they loaned them the money, they actually paid the money back in, you know, 2 years. But you haven't heard the banks. The banks didn't do what they were supposed to do with the money. They went and bought other banks.
Mm-hmm.
So they started trying to make larger banks because they were thinking of their bottom line, but they weren't making loans to the people. So a lot of things went wrong, and I think that it was actually addressed in a couple of times that, you know, President Obama wanted to go in and say, we're going to make these regulations to where these people have to do this with the money. They can't give these giant bonuses. They can't do this. But you need Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and Tea Partiers or whoever to be in agreement that something has to change. And I think everybody's looking out for their best interest. Not everybody, but a lot of people are only looking out for their best interest, you know, and that's why they're talking about take the government back to where it was. Like, you know, I don't know if that's a mention to the president, but it's definitely an inference to having a president, the first African-American president in America. So they say, we want to take the country back. And I'm like, so does that mean that you have a problem that the person that was elected is not supposed to be there? Is there a problem? You know, so there's so many things going on right now. It's kind of hard. Everything's up in the air as far as what's mentioned, and everybody's trying to be politically correct, so nobody's saying what they actually mean because they really can't, you know.
You mean nobody as in the Tea Party is not saying what they think, or
the members of the Tea Party are saying what they think, but there's still an attempt there to be politically correct when they say it.
When you say I'm going to overthrow the government, there's nothing politically correct about that.
No, but see, that's the free speech in America, you know, and that's what they would claim. But overthrowing the government means that you don't like the person that's in there right now, and there's a problem, which you could see there was a problem when they actually tried to vote on the health care or any other bill that was trying to pass in the last 2 years. There was a problem with anybody wanting to participate in the process, although they say they're willing to participate now.
If you'd like to chime in on our topics today, the number is 347-850-8390. Again, the number is 347-850-8390. Well, should the government give out another stimulus package? You know, every time it looks like things are getting in a funk or a fog, they throw a stimulus package out there. Is that really helping us, or is that just further putting us into a larger deficit?
Well, what group? Nancy, that?
Well, for us. What is it, the $300 or $600 stimulus packages, those stimulus packages?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to let Coon answer, but I was saying most of the big money was given out to big business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Them didn't do what they – so that's what I'm saying. So everybody said we don't need another stimulus, but it never helped the middle class and the lower class people, you know, exactly, because it was supposed to be the trickle-down theory that Reagan had, basically, I guess. But
okay.
I'm going to let Coon on talk, you know, what you think, man?
I mean, I like your answer. I was just going to say that I don't think we should give any money to anybody that's not ready to know what to do with it, because me and Kerry had talked about it before, and the whole situation with it is that we're giving people money. If they're not educated enough on what to do with it, you're kind of really just putting it in some hands, and you might as well, you know, make it be like sand and let it fall right through, because they're not sure what to do with it. To some people, it might be, you know, paying a bill for that month. To some people, it might be going shopping. You know, it's like they've got to be educated, and it's funny how they're not really educating anybody in the process of all this money that they're just giving away. It's like there's no education with the process. It's like I wouldn't give $500 to, you know, a five-year-old and say, okay, I know you can use this. And to me, it's like a lot of people are still going back to money management, running businesses. They're still little children trying to be grown and trying to run a business, and they don't even understand the aspects. Some people don't even understand the aspects of business just from even taxes and et cetera, and how they can benefit from being in business for themselves. So the education is going to be a big gap. And, you know, how can a group of people that just don't, I don't care what color they are, if they don't really know what to do with that money or money management, things of that nature, how are they going to succeed from that just because they got some extra money? I mean, we've seen plenty of people win the lottery and mess it off in no time.
Mm-hmm.
just because they ain't never seen that type of money before.
Well, that's a good point. Someone said on a talk show earlier today about the cash for clunkers, and the way he described it, I never thought of it like that. He said, why would you take a paid-off car and trade it in? Well, I mean, why would the government encourage you, let's just say it like that, to take a paid-off car and trade it in for a car payment just to stimulate the economy but put you in debt? That doesn't even make sense.
But America was built on the debt of the people.
Yep.
You know, just like tomorrow. Tomorrow, a lot of people making money and they don't even know what they're celebrating, because they throw it out there like, yeah, they want to sell all these costumes, all these places got costumes. The whole store is rearranged so you can go in and buy stuff to decorate your lawn and costumes and candy. So I'm saying, what are they celebrating, or what are you doing? You're just stimulating the government. And, you know, I've had a problem with that for the longest, that, you know, everybody wants to celebrate holidays, but, you know, America's holidays are usually economic days for the American populace, or the stores or the big business. And you see Walmart and Sam's and all these other stores are buying up, are building in so many areas that the little mom and pop stores are suffering.
Very true. Let's go to the phone lines, guys. We're going to go to area code 313-400. You're on center stage. Good afternoon.
Hi, this is Daniel Coleman. How are you doing?
Fine, Daniel. Hi, Coleman. How you doing?
I'm fine. I was listening in, and I'm just like one of your guests. I don't know which one it was, because my computer it froze up. But he said the government is giving away money. The government is not giving us anything, because it comes from, we have to pay taxes. The ones who are working, we're paying taxes. We're paying taxes, and our hard-earned dollars is going to this. And that's why people are so mad, because they're trying to they're trying to make us think that they're giving us and they're doing us a favor, when all actuality, our taxes are going up. They're forcing us to do so. The government is forcing the government and the people that we elect, the people that work for us, is forcing us to do things that we actually, that might not be good for us, or things that we don't want to do. For instance, this health care bill. And I have a problem with the health care bill, because if an individual don't want it, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to go to jail or something. So they're forcing things on us, and they're trying to make it like it's, they're trying to condition us to think that it's so good for us, when all actuality, they're the ones who's benefiting from it. We're not. They're benefiting from, their pockets are getting fatter from the work that we do, going to work every day. And then they make it look like, and that's why we have a loss of jobs. The government puts so much decision-making on what we do. They're taking so much taxes, with they're allowing the unions, which is basically another gang that I think. And that's why we're able to have jobs go off to other countries, because they don't have to worry about all the rules and regulations that America has, when really the government should just be there to make sure we are safe, make sure we do have the opportunities for people to create jobs, implement plans, instead of just implementing our lives all the time. And the government has gone overboard. People have gone overboard. It's a power issue, in my opinion.
Now, see, this is Danielle Coleman of the Danielle Coleman Show here on Blog Talk Radio, and I suggest everybody support her. It was her show that I was listening to this morning. It was fascinating, was it not, Danielle?
And, you know, I really enjoyed it, because it went beyond Detroit. Mm-hmm. You know, it would, and when you were talking with your theme to your topic today, I'm just like, I don't know where to go, because when you say that the government officials, they don't listen to us, they really don't. It was a show on Dateline. I don't know if any of you guys caught that, but they were talking about corrupt politicians. And these people were going to jail. I mean, they was actually hauling them off to jail, because they were accepting bribes. They were you know, messing around with. They was partying. Like, they have a convention. And I ran for state representative in Detroit, Michigan.
Damn.
And, yeah, I ran. And it's a mess here. But, you know, our elected officials, they're going to jail, too. You know, just like they are. They're everywhere. But
they got Charles Mayer, right?
Oh, yeah, he's locked up right now.
He was down here with us now. Kwame.
No, his wife does, but, yeah, he's not even in the – I think they did put him in federal prison. He was in the state prison jail. You know, that's the low down. You got to go to state. But I think he's in federal prison right now. But, yeah, he's locked up. He's wearing an orange suit. I look him up, and you see his little picture. It's a mess. And he had, like, with him, he had a gang of individuals. And he had people positioned, and I don't want to turn this into, but this is part of the corruption and how government don't listen to us, how they have such a big ego, and they headstrong. But
we're going to talk about corruption, so go ahead.
Okay, he had people positioned. He was the mayor. He had city council. He had commissioners. He had state representatives. He had in all the government positions, he had his hand, and they were doing everything that he wanted to do. But guess at the same time, Detroit was on the rise. I mean, our downtown was happening. Everything was going on. People was coming here. You know, we had the Super Bowl here, and everything was going good. And as soon as he went down in jail, everything plummeted.
Really?
Everything went down. And I'm talking about businesses closed, restaurants closed, everything, because everybody had a hand in that. A lot of business people are going to jail. They're getting indicted today, right now. It's indictment list is so long. But
Detroit?
That was the power that he had. Yeah.
Wow.
The indictment list is long. We have a state representative that's probably like one, the person that I ran against.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they sent out so much negative, and negative ads is something you can't believe all of them, because, as you know, we're seeing them right now because it's election time. But they sent out so much stuff about her voting record. She's doing the same thing he did, because what he did was he had a nonprofit organization, and this nonprofit was supposed to support supposed to support, like, little kids, and they would do stuff in the city.
Mm-hmm.
He was spending the money on himself. Our now newly elected council president has that same fund. He's spending it on himself. The person who I ran himself, I'm sorry, and the person who I ran against, she has a fund. She's spending the money on herself. So, you know, they're doing, it's still going on. Corruption still, and they don't listen to us. They don't have, you know, we turn around because I keep track of the voting. You're like, why did they vote this way? We don't want this. And then they lie. They say, oh, well, you know, my constituents doesn't mind paying higher taxes, because if it's going to benefit their neighbor, they want to see their neighbor succeed. But at this given time, do I want more money put out of my pocket because Jane don't have it? No.
But how do we keep that leads into the next question then. How do we keep corruption out of politics? I mean, is it possible? Is that doable?
Yes, it is. Yes,
how?
It is possible. And I'm sorry, but it's possible because once we see them do something, once they're out of touch, we have to let them know who is in control. And if we let this person out who's on the road of corruption, and we say, oh, you did this, oh, you're not going to do this anymore, oh, say what? You're the boss? Oh, you got to get out of here and pick the next person. And when they see that we're not going to continue to vote for them, when we see that they cannot be persuasive enough to bamboozle us into thinking that they're a good person, a good guy, then people are going to stop that when we start having that revolving door in politics. We do not have revolving doors in politics.
Okay.
I have a better question for the situation of that nature. Is there anything set up within the laws that we already have set up in situations of that nature where those people that they're representing and they don't like what's going on, what is it that they can do other than write a letter?
You mean like a whistleblower?
Huh?
I mean, I don't understand the question.
Well, it's because she said, you know, as soon as they see we're not voting, I mean, voting only occurs, you know, what, once every couple of years in some situations, or depending on what particular position that they hold. What I'm saying is there must be something in place that allows people to speak on it before a voting issue even comes up as far as voting somebody out. So
okay.
What's in place?
But
I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question.
Okay. But what I say is we should just vote, let them know, because one, you don't want, see, that's money that's being spent if we, you know, I mean, yeah, writing a letter.
But let,
they get
who,
that letter,
let,
they
who know? Let the person that's in office know.
Let the person that's in office know. Let the people in office know. And also we have to get out and have groups and talk to the constituents and let them know what's going on. But to impeach a president or to get somebody out of office, to what do they call that when they get them out?
It's impeached.
What they call.
It's
impeached. But yeah, now when we get them out of office, guess what? We have to pay millions of dollars for another election. You know, and then that person's only going to be in there forever. How long? Because we know this also well in Detroit, because we've done it so many times.
So
but
have they ever impeached somebody in the middle? Like, let's say, for example, if there's a 2-year term, has somebody ever been gotten rid of within 6 months to a year? And if so, what's the process? Because the reason why I'm asking is because maybe if we can understand how that process works, maybe that would be part of what may help. Because from the sounds of it, and I'm sure we can use this in a lot of cases, talking and having meetings ain't working. So there's obviously a part where we're not enough. There's not enough people that are educated about what the process is, so that when situations come up like that, they can say, "Hey, you know, we can do X, Y, Z and get you up out of there." You did know that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and they have that recall. That's what they call it. They call it a recall. You get a petition.
For a vote?
You skip.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, they tried when in Dallas. They had one in Dallas not too long ago when they was trying to recall a couple of people. So,
they tried to recall, but see, that's the money. The one thing a lot of people don't want to, we don't want to pay our taxes to spend all that money on those elections for somebody. Now, you know, some people say, well, for 6 months, give them a chance. But I say when it's time for them to get out, tell them they don't have that job again, because a lot of people are, see, in other states, I know that California and Michigan are basically the highest paid states for public officials. So with some people, it might not work, but in here, you know, these are people making careers out of this. You know, this is their livelihood. And when they know that just for 2 years they was only making this all this money, then next time we go around, we can't get them, because you're right. People are not educated. They don't care. You know, they only vote for the names that they know, and that's a lot of problem. But we do have to be consistent, just like the Tea Party was. They were consistent, and now everybody know about the Tea Party. And I'm pretty sure they started off at some little party, a couple people came in and did, but look how big they are now because they were persistent. We have to be persistent when we do things.
Absolutely. Let me give the callers a chance. If you'd like to chime in, the number is 347-850-8390. Again, if you'd like to chime in on what we're talking about, the number to call is 347-850-8390. A little earlier we were talking about jobs. How do we bring jobs back to the U.S.? I mean, we've lost so many. What can the government do to bring some of the jobs back? Because we know that the private corporations, they're taking their businesses out of this country because they can find cheap labor in India and other places and in Mexico. What kind of incentives can the government give out to bring jobs back into the U.S.?
I get in trouble for saying this. I don't know if I should say it. I don't care. We need to. A lot of people are not going to like this. We need to do something about these unions.
But we don't have unions. We don't have that problem down here. Do we have all of us live in Dallas. We don't have a big problem with unions down here. That's like a northern thing more, you know. The South,
well,
they don't
like,
want them out of here.
But that's why, Donald, we don't really have, I mean, you guys have a lot more jobs than we do. Successful companies than we do. Girl.
No, nothing. We do have unions in Texas. There's a couple of unions here.
But not a lot. Not like up north, though, is it?
No, it's not like that. But I'm saying there are unions here that are it's a pretty interesting situation, because I understand what she's saying. But also, you can't say that the unions don't help. You missed that.
They do, but they are a help, but at the same time they are a burden, because anytime a person, and this is a true story, anytime a person can get drunk, come to work butt naked and sit on their desk and harass a person and keep their job, that's a burden.
So where did that happen at, Danielle? Are you serious?
It happened in Detroit. Yes, it happened in Detroit. It was years back, but it happened.
Funny. They came to work butt naked.
No, they came to work drunk.
Drunk,
got
okay.
Butt naked, sat on their desk and harassed a worker, and they still had their job.
Because of the union?
Because of the union.
That wouldn't happen in Texas. I don't think that would happen.
You would think it wouldn't happen anywhere. You'd be like, oh, this just, no, it happens, you know. And then you look at, you know, Chrysler, the big three.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got rid of so many jobs because the union was a big burden. It helps the good, but in the process, it also helps the bad, too. I mean, it's like they hard to distinguish against the two. Maybe they need to do some more rules and regulations, but I think the union.
So you think the unions are a bad thing. But should the government give out, like, incentives to these companies to bring their companies back to the U.S. so that we can have jobs here as opposed to creating jobs, you know, overseas?
You know, a lot of people feel that I'm worth this. And if you don't, they have a price tag on themselves. And if you're not giving me this, I'm not doing it. But in opposed to another country, their price tag is not as high.
But isn't it the case that the government can give them tax breaks and incentives to want to come back here and do business? I mean, aren't there packages like that available where they can give them cuts on this and cuts on that so that they can, you know, feel happy about coming back, as opposed to a lot of times they'll say, like, that if they go to XYZ, they don't have to do this or they don't have to do that, where if they're in the U.S., they may have to do whatever that is. So if the government would give them some breaks just for the sake of bringing jobs back to the U.S.
But then at the same point in time, you got to look at the fact that not just only tax breaks, but you got to look at the change in currency.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, that has a lot to do with it, too. You know, when you value a peso versus a dollar type of thing going on, a lot of stuff begins to change, you know, versus going somewhere where it's the euro currency, you know, it's money at the end of the day. It's about a dollar.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's just taxes. It's also the value of, you know, I can go to Canada and pay a dollar and get $2 worth of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So things of that nature have to play a part in it as well, I would think.
But see, I think Americans would be smart if these companies choose to do business in India, then we should choose to buy American-made products. So we can.
Why would you buy? I'm sorry, but why would I buy an American product when the people, like for a car, for instance, why would I want to buy an American-made car when the workers are getting high and drunk during their lunch breaks?
But isn't that an isolated incident and not the norm?
I think it will be the norm. But then when you talk about tax breaks, they can give that company a tax break. Okay, while they're getting a break, who's going to pay for that break that they just gave them?
But the whole gist of it would be to bring the jobs back here, because we're hurting, you know, and people are losing their houses and they're homeless and, you know, they can't feed their families. So the incentive would be, overall, it would help us all if the jobs came back. So if we had to, you know, pay a little bit more in taxes so that there would be some more jobs, I would think that would be a good thing. I mean, not necessarily they will like it, but it'll be a good thing overall for everybody. Y'all don't see it that way?
I mean, I still say, like I said before earlier, I deal with a lot of people that are independent, and unfortunately, I don't think there's enough people that understand how to be in business for themselves, no matter what it is. And I think that's a very sad part about this country, is we're not really inciting people on being business for themselves or money management and things of that nature. We're really just not educated. I think the gist of the education for here is a lot of late night 1-800 numbers. You know, that's about the gist of it. And then those people make a lot of money off of stuff that the people who are watching don't even understand what they're getting themselves into. So
don't know. It's really weird to me because, like I said, I see a lot more independent than corporate people. So from that situation, I just see it from a different light.
Really? I'm just amazed at y'all's answers. I don't know. I just thought, like, we need to, like, boycott, you know, because if you're not with us, then you're against us. So if you're sending your business over to whatever country for whatever your reason is, then why are we buying it? You know, because if you don't think enough to want to help your country, then why should we want to buy your product? And I don't care how nice your jeans are. You know,
they don't really believe in it. That's the problem with conversation. You can say whatever you want to say. You have to really believe that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Until you really believe that and you really take a heed into it, then it's easy to say, yeah, you know, I don't buy it because it's foreign. You know, I buy American. That's cool. Until you, you know, look at the back of a T-shirt that says Taiwan, you know, it's come on, man. Like, for real, like, you really don't take that to heart. It's not really that serious. If people took what they said serious, it'd be a whole nother level of the game right now.
But I think maybe our government needs to do some campaigns on that where, you know, they say, because sometimes people need to see it or somebody else needs to bring it to their attention, buy American, because that's what makes America strong. And so if you want to see our economy stimulated again, buy American products.
Where was it made from? Was it American made? That's why I said, you know, they don't really believe that. Like she's pointing out, you know, that's something simple that's right in front of people's faces. And it's like, you know, to buy a car American made or say Ford or Chevy, yeah, people get it. You say a phone, you're like, what? You know, what? Ford made a phone? Really? No, thank you. It's like,
no,
it's not finna go down. It's not finna go down.
But
no, but you know what?
When we start looking at soup lines, we can rethink that easily.
What, you can't hear me?
When you start looking
I'm saying one thing is definitely there were campaigns years ago as far as Buy American before all this happened.
I remember.
And exactly like you were saying, because the same thing in Detroit, same thing here in Texas, same thing with most of the places that had dreams were, their whole campaign has always been for the last 15, 20 years, Buy American, because they could see it coming. And see, once Microsoft moved their call centers to India, then some other places say, well, we can move to Mexico. And they started letting them do it. And see, it was the bill that they signed. They signed as far as to actually let other companies move. But see, all this legislation has been happening under our eyes, but we're not looking at what's going on within the government that we say we're trying to, you know, we're trying to build or that's supposed to be for us.
It was under Clinton, and it was something about...
Yeah, exactly.
What was it called? It was something about business out of the country. I forgot what it was called. But, but we need to pay attention because it's hurting us. And if we don't do something about it pretty quickly, a lot more of us are going to be in soup lines and in the homeless shelters. And so I think we can take some responsibility for ourselves as to turning this around.
Can I ask this question? Because I'm just thinking something. I'm thinking about it now. The government, they were able to bail out the auto industry, right?
Mm-hmm.
They still bailed them out, which meant that our elected officials, which make up our government, had a say so on if this company can move out to other countries, right?
Right.
I mean, so basically, our own people that we love and trust so much sold us out. Now look what happened now.
The foreclosures. And that was under the president. I'm sorry.
Yes, but it's not that we Americans are buying up these foreclosed houses because we're losing the houses.
Right.
They're letting people from other countries buy our houses in bulk.
Oh, very true. I hear the Saudis own a lot of land and a lot of property here. I agree.
But look what they're doing.
But one thing was is there was something. I don't remember exactly what it was. Is when they bailed out the auto industry, they were the ones. They were the only ones that had to guarantee a payment plan, a payback. And there were some other little things. They had to close some of their locations and close some other things, so they were actually minimizing the industry. But none of that went along when they bailed out Saks or bailed out Fannie Mae or any of the other things. There was something that they told they needed to do, but there wasn't written in stone that this is how they need to do it, just like all the bailout money that went for bonuses.
Yeah,
well, you know,
one thing
about
the government,
when you buy a house, and I'm very familiar with the paperwork, they pretty much tell you, you're signing your life away, you're going to pay three times what this house is worth, and if you don't pay us that, we're going to come and take it. So why is it that when we're bailing out banks and bailing out car dealer or car companies, we're not saying the same thing?
But the car companies paid the money back in full.
But I'm just
saying. Four times.
Who? I'm sorry, four times?
Before time. Before it was due, they paid it back in full before time.
But they are
the only ones that paid the money back.
To the bank.
But how is that happening when we have a deficit, we lost jobs, people losing their houses, so that means there's no money. The Bush was giving us stimulus packages. Where the heck was they getting that money from? Was that a setup for the letdown?
No, they got the money the same place that President Bush got it. They got it from just writing it on a napkin or a piece of toilet paper.
Yep.
It ain't no good no way. You know what, y'all?
Federal Reserve, I owe you.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Writing on a piece of toilet paper be the same thing.
You know, yeah, we can spend all day on this one. But let's talk about some other things. What about teen pregnancy? How can we put a cap on this? How can we fix it? Because we're losing our youth. I mean, when you're seeing a young girl at 20 and she's on her third child, there's a somewhere, you know. And so what are we doing to fail them where they're not getting that, you know, this is not supposed to happen like this. You know, you're not supposed to have three children by 20 and not be married. How can we fix that?
Well, we failed them by failing the family. We failed the family because, you know, for so long we were just like, you know, I think, what was the movie, Irreconcilable Differences?
Okay.
Everything changed at the end of that movie. It wasn't the concept that changed. It was just that you didn't have to have a reason to get divorced. Before, everybody said, we got to have a reason. But see, when that made it clear, and then we also failed the family because now it's so much easier to do whatever you want to do, go anywhere you want to go, and not participate in the family, and then you have the father problem. So this is a big issue because I really believe that girls learn how to love by having been loved by their father.
Thank you.
So then they know what to look for. And see, so often they're looking for love, and they will find love, but they're not finding love like they see in the movies, because that's really where so many people learn what it is they think love is.
And I haven't been in high school in a minute, but do we still have sex education in the schools at all?
No.
Whoa.
Not exactly. See, sex education now is just teaching them how to have sex and pass out condoms.
Wow. So we need sex education,
you know,
in the home, schools, and the churches.
We can't get on the churches. That is too big a problem to address in this short 2 hour period.
No, they can say, listen, per the Bible, you're supposed to abstain, which, you know, that can just be cut and dry. But they need it three ways: church, school, and home, because obviously they're not getting that. So there's a disconnect.
No.
Let me tell you, this is what I think. Okay, and some people might disagree with me, but see, you get more when you have children. The government takes care of you more. For instance, you can have two individuals. You can have Janet and you can have Jamaica. Janet doesn't have any kids. Janet went to school. She got a 2.8. So she doesn't have, you know, scholarships, but she was able to get into a nice college. Jamaica, on the other hand, had a baby at 16. Okay? So guess what? She's going to get – but Janet's mother – and father, her father probably work at a, he has a nice little company job, and her mother's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Jamaica probably had the same thing, but since Jamaica has a baby, Jamaica qualifies for financial aid. Janet doesn't.
So we're not going to make this about a check. We're not going to make this about a check, are we?
No. But check it out.
The government gives them more when they make them more dependent. So
let me ask what you said before. See, the problem is an old problem. See, when the African American family first started breaking up, when there was this railroad track, the divide, and when you know you was in the community you was looking for.
Mm.
See, what happened is they would help the mother out. They would help the family out only if the father wasn't there. You know, so you saw men leaving because men couldn't find jobs and men were struggling. They say, well, my family is better off without me. At least that was the thought and the concept. But now that's the tradition of the matter. Is so many people see, just like you said, that the government will help her and send her to school and pay for daycare and pay for all these other things. So they say, she can get so much if I'm gone. So it's easier to leave on the auspice that you're helping your family out.
It's
an age-old problem. It's been the same for years. Nothing's changed.
Let me tell you what my mother said. This is what she says. And I don't know. I don't really want to go that far back. But she blames it on slavery. She said that the slave masters would take our women, use them up, and give them back to their husbands. And, you know, the husbands left off with the leftovers. But she's spoiled already. You know, she can take a young girl. She's spoiled already. And this comes all the way back from slavery. That's why my mother said. I mean, it makes a little sense to me, but I'm not going to go that far.
No, I'm saying it's the truth. See, the thing is what we've been taught in America. The way we were taught is we would talk about everything. See, when you look at the history books, the reason slavery isn't truly addressed in the history books is because there has not been a true apology for the process. Every corporation that we're talking about that was bailed out initially was built on some slave's concept of work, making the job easier. So there's so many things that can be blamed on slavery. I'm saying the whole concept of that you just said, we are politically correct in slave mentality.
Mm-hmm. But you all, the CDC is saying that the U.S. has the highest pregnancy rate in the industrialized world.
Definitely.
What's going on wrong with our kids is not going on wrong in Britain and China.
Britain care about education. United States don't care about education. What they say, we number 25 and we're the lowest and everything. The United States is behind. They don't care about education. All they care about is raising taxes and taking people money. That's all they care about. They ain't think about no education.
The problem is, America is built on, if you look at all the styles and everything that we do, you know, just like the sagging pants, and, you know, these are new industries that are making big money. So they can, you know, I hate to coin this phrase, but a friend of mine was saying, he said, you can pick a nigga. He said, there's a market for niggas. And I hate to say this, but he said, there's a market for niggas because you can get out there and say everything that you wouldn't even do. Say you slanging drugs. Say you doing this. Say you got all these women and all these women on your jock or however you want to say it. And there's a market for niggas. People will buy it. And as long as they're putting it out there in the airwaves, because the most negative things on the radio, they don't even beat the words out anymore. They just kind of beat them at the station to where you can almost hear what it is and just kind of leave it, when usually you have to have a radio edit. So it's our education. She's right, it's our education, but it's not just the education. It's the things that parents are letting kids listen to. It's the things that we've let into our houses. It's the things that we've let into our lives. So this is a manifestation of what we brought on ourselves, because nobody can make our children do anything if we're teaching our children at home.
But see, are we going to need to go back to it's going to take a village to raise a child and maybe have some big brother and big sister programs in the community?
Mm-mm.
Some mentorship?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
Did somebody say duh?
No. We have molesters and stuff out here. I don't need no big brother that's going to use that to molest my child. No. Mm-mm.
No, and you know,
who would do that?
Not
who
Kudalini,
would do that?
My hair saying, Kunalini, check this out. Just by her saying that, if we had a couple of shows that we were talking about the Eddie Long scandal, Let me finish. See, everybody was saying it was an attack on the church. I said it's not an attack on the church. It's an attack on the mentoring programs that everybody's trying to start, because that was from a mentoring program. See, so many times we let attacks in our community, and people don't even know that they're doing it. It's because the attack was on the mentoring program, because it's on the programs that's trying to help boys. I have one here. I work with the boys in my community. But the thing is people weren't upfront with what they were doing. But I still think mentoring programs work as long as you're upfront. And I don't think any parent should let their child come home with necklaces or cars or checks for tuition if they don't know where it came from.
Amen.
So either way we go through it, it's still a parenting problem, because we just let so many things slide. Okay, go be back about midnight. You know, and you don't know where they are. I'm saying there are problems in the way that we let things go.
Okay, we're going to go back on phone lines. Area code 318-574. You're on center stage. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Keith and everyone.
Good afternoon, how you doing?
Hey, everything's in divine order, as always.
Good.
Yeah, everything the brother and sister saying is right on point. I'm listening to the program, and I'm hearing a lot of great things. But remember, we're dealing with a different breed of children, a different breed, a different time now. We can lay on a lot of things in past history, but this is a different group, a different mindset altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we're trying to use old techniques to educate a generation now that comes out playing with computers out the mother's womb.
Yeah.
I mean, our school system is antiquated. You're trying to teach children who are computer illiterate. They're illiterate. They know stuff from babies. Teachers teaching old systems, it won't work, and they're getting bored.
Mm.
Drop out. Another thing is, we left the foundation of a spiritual home a long time ago.
Mm.
People talk about prayer in school. Prayer wasn't a problem.
Wow.
The old tradition wasn't no problem. Is that we got grandmothers who are as young as the children,
yeah,
trying to raise children.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. Somewhere in the scripture says, let the old teach young men be church housekeepers. That ain't being taught. Because the grandmother now, she's in her 30s.
That's just a grandma 30s.
Thing, and your daughter 12, she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, we got a problem. And see, that's the truth, because, you know, a friend of mine, he's, you know, I'm a writer and a poet, and a friend of mine is a poet. He has one of the tightest lines I've heard. He said, now we have children never raised trying to raise children.
That's right.
And that's it in a nutshell, because there's no other way to put that. And I'm saying it, you are correct. I really appreciate you calling. And I think that we can talk about the problems and go all kind of ways, but still we need to address a solution. And I still think the solution is men becoming fathers of their community, not just the children that they raised, because boys need to see what a man looks like. They need to see how a man acts in different situations. They need to be around a man to see what, because what, about 15 years ago, they started moving all the men, the men that were principals, in, I know in our district, making women principals.
Yes.
So now you have boys,
yes,
leaving from a single family home, going to a,
yep,
place where most of the teachers are women, going to a school where if he gets in trouble, he's going to talk to a woman that's the principal, that's telling the men,
yes,
that he see around them what to do. So we have boys that's never seeing what a man looks like.
True.
Yes.
You know, another thing is, integration ruined us. The young lady said about slavery, that had nothing to do with it. It was integration that ruined the black community.
No,
really?
But I
went to school in Crossing County, Texas. I attended Judge Jackson High. When you went to school there, our teachers had master's degrees. They were not there with a certificate. They had master's degrees. When the school integrated to the white school, our coaches was pushed down to lower grades. The white coaches stepped up. White people, and this is no offense, cannot teach black people because we are different in nature and concept about things. And that's the problem. Especially if you're scared of a child, you can't teach him. Especially a white female, she's trying to teach a young black male, I don't know, no respect, and she's scared of him. Then two,
what?
A son going to school at Kimball in Dallas, right? I'm in Louisiana. He got a teacher that doesn't provocative in front of young men. Come on now.
Wait a minute, they're doing what?
They're just provocative.
They
got the low-cut blinds, you can see.
Really?
the body shows these young men are going into maturity, so they think about, you know, hitting that. You know what I'm saying? Oh no, I'm gonna hit that. No problem.
Okay, but I do have to add something to what you said, and see, I'm not in disagreement with you, but there, please. I'm not
I got 13 years ago, he talks to me all the time, but as long as old man, I don't want to hear that. You can't go out right before I want to hear it.
No, but I'm not in disagreement with you, but I still think that, you know, our foundational principles of each individual relates to how we look at situations and how we deal with situations and how we discern our information.
Right.
So I think everybody say whatever, and that is part of the problem, see, because the problem has gotten so far to hand that everybody's hitting the nail on the head, but we're making different fences.
Yeah. Wow.
Y'all
building
the same thing, but we
making
different fences.
Yeah. Well, see, I feel that a young man needs to be in boys' school.
Ooh.
Where men would have been taught before they put into the system, and girls would be put into a separate school. I believe separating the sexes until a certain age in order to get them some foundation. We have no rites of passage. Long time ago, we had a rites of passage. You have one now.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm saying, you see the Muslim institutions and some of the other institutions actually do that. Because and I agree with you, because today, in order to re-educate, to start a new foundation of education,
yeah,
it has to be we have to go to that extreme to bring it about, because until they see the benefit of actually paying attention in school and learning and seeing that, you know, whatever information you have you can actually use, and, you know, letting everybody know that we have a black president, so now when they say you can be president, it's the truth.
It's the truth.
We used to say that, you know, it was said at one time, like, oh, you can be president, like that was something written in books that we just knew about, you know, Cypress Attucks, you know, oh, that's in a book, so we can be president, sure, president of what? But now there's so many things to reach for.
That we have to restructure our education. But remember, the system played a game on us too, because they only allowed you to know so much information. Had we known a long time ago, dude, we always had black people in power. Slavery, and like one of my books, I wrote a book called The Other Side of Slavery, The Untold Story. And through my research, I found out that a lot of things that we have in the main media is not true. It's been tailored in a certain way to bring about a certain reaction out of a people. But had we known the whole truth, that blacks used to own white slaves, and that there were black people in power long before white men here, we have a different society.
Yes.
And we have documents on that.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying historically, I'm saying right now, the internet is so full of truth.
Oh, yeah.
That we would rather Google videos and see what the hot video is. So I'm saying instead of learning the lessons from our past, we're just trying to learn what's new in our future.
You know, my wife teaches kindergarten. We talk all the time about these young people. Now, I'm going to drop something on you that most people probably never look at. A lot of children we're dealing with now are old spirits returned. These are old spirits returned, and they are more advanced. Now, what are you talking about?
Oh.
The spirit never dies. It comes back. And a lot of children we're dealing with now, we say, little Johnny's too, he's so smart. Well, little Johnny might be smart too in his body now, but that's an old spirit.
Wow.
And how do you go about knowing this? I'm going to drop some on your head. How old is the blood in your body? And what's the DNA record it's carrying with it when it comes back on the scene?
And you know, I would really like to touch on that, but I really have to check that, because I'm saying, listen to me. I'm saying, see, that's a realm of conversation that you actually need to be completely aware of. I'm saying, because then they go to different religious beliefs, different religious perspectives.
Yep.
So I'm saying,
yep.
So instead of us taking that conversation in that direction, we've started out talking about what do we need to do to help our community. But we've been so far off, and the conversation is definitely, you know,
intriguing.
Well,
I
still think
we
need to talk.
Wait,
hold on a second.
My wife took a school, a lot of these children from other countries in our classrooms. You got different cultures, different cultural, I think. How do you go about teaching these people
still,
with a lot of different cultures, different background?
Yeah, but still I think we need to go back to, because we have an election coming up Tuesday.
That's right.
So I think a lot of people listening to the show, would love whatever whichever way we take this conversation, but I still think we need to talk about what we need to do to better the situation of our communities that we live in today.
Well, I have a suggestion. Number one, too many politicians are wrong are taking black folks for granted being Democrats. We need to diversify our voting power. I don't have a political party. I vote, when I go to voting booth, you can't say I'm a Democrat or Republican because I carry no party label. I vote the way I feel the most man is most qualified for the job after doing research. We need to stop letting people pigeonhole us in the color. Well, all black folks are Democrats. That is not true. All black folks, that is not true. We need to diversify our power by our voting power.
And I agree with that. That straight Democratic ticket or the straight Republican ticket, actually we're doing ourselves a disservice by not doing the research and seeing who are we voting for and what have they done for us lately, as Janet would say. So,
the propositions, what's on the book, we need to do more research for this. Just go punch a line, mark an X, or punch a ballot, because that's the day, because voting, a right to vote is a powerful vote. You know, I was stupid one time, so it really didn't matter, but the more I learned, the more I figured that's why it matters.
It does matter.
And see, the other thing that, you know, one thing I was trying to tell people the other day is, see, the Voting Rights Act is still an amendment, almost like penciled in.
Yep.
Okay, it's been amended 4 times so far by Congress. But the last time was in 2006 by President George Bush, which extended it for 26 years. We have 21 years left. But then it would have to be ratified again, you know, amended or extended or whatever again. But the Voting Rights Act is just an act. So we're not using our votes right now, and we're not understand the, I guess, the power that the vote is and how important it is. You know, it's futile to sit down and argue about things when you have people not listening and not participating in the process.
Well, you know, one thing we all trying to see, as I work with various campaigns, in the past, back in the 80s, I worked with Dr. Polanyi, I worked with Brother Jesse Jackson. I was on the campaign trail as a reporter for KNON radio station. But back then, it was 90.9. And we traveled around the country back in the 80s, and I seen a lot of things take place. I said, man, what are we not doing? Well, one thing about it, we as black people have allowed outside to get put into the system. If you have a felony record, you can't vote. And too many young people already has records. If you have a felony record, but you know, that depletes your voting power.
We need to
go back and re-educate our people to stay out the system. If you want to vote, you've got to stay out the system.
But see, now we're back to the father and the parenting situation in the community. And I'm in agreement, because that is why they say, okay, you did this little misdemeanor that a Caucasian or somebody else would get off for. We're not going to send you to jail. We're going to put you on papers for 5 years. Knowing that if you're on papers, The next thing you do is you going now maybe 8 months, 18 months, you know, less than a year or whatever. But now you got a record. So being on papers is just the next step for you just handing your voting card over.
Yeah, you know, we need to learn that. How important it is to stay out of the system. Because anything else, voting is a privilege. Your driver's license is a privilege. Even to have a Social Security card is a privilege.
Let's deal with that Voters' Rights Bill or Voters' Rights Act. That only applies to African Americans, which is ridiculous.
Right.
And basically, it started out that they made African Americans take a literacy test before they could even get the right to register to vote, like how many bubbles are in a soap, in a bar of soap, that kind of ridiculous stuff. So my question is, we got a black president now. Why are we not addressing the fact that we should just completely do away with this Voters' Rights Act, period? And why are African Americans the only one that is under this umbrella? Everybody else, undocumented workers come in here, illegal immigrants come in here, and they get their citizenship down the road, and they're never put under that umbrella. So how is it that we are here, born here, and we're the only somebody that falls under that act?
Well, now we're back to the original thing when we were talking about three fifths of humans. See, in order to correct that, something had to be done.
Well,
you know,
a lot of times on that thing,
I've
never understood that too.
I'm saying when you listed as three fifths, something has to be done, and it's only an act. See, it was extended for a number of years, so it's not presently on the books with all the other important things to do. And I'm in agreement. It should be a permanent part, but if it's extended for 26 years, we're going to wait around to somebody come up and say, oh, I'm sorry, Voter Rights Act. You know, when I last week?
I don't think we should wait around. I think we should demand now that they take it off.
I'm in agreement.
Completely. Abolish that act completely, and everybody has the right to vote. That's a citizen of the United States. That should be understood.
Do you not know that the Constitution, the claim that we have was on a 20-year contract?
Mm.
That's all it was. That's why you got amendments to it. It's on a 20-year contract.
I did not know that.
That's the history. When it was written and put together, because when it started out, it was only a 20. And remember then, we were the people who feared the most, because before that happened, we was in all the political parties. We ran most of them, and we had to up until the Dixiecrats got in there and started changing things. And then we went to Ku Klux Klan and went against the voters. And that's why, and when they got in power, they started writing certain things in place. But it was only a 20-year thing.
Listen, if you'd like to chime in on what we're talking about, if you agree or disagree, the number to call is 347-850-8390. Again, the number is 347-850-8390. Let's talk about the immigration bill or what happened in Arizona. Do you all agree or disagree that Arizona went about it the wrong way, or did they go about it the right way?
Well, now, I think the purpose of that was to bring notice, to let everybody see that, you know, that this is a problem. So a lot of times, you know, you go to the extreme just to show that that's a problem that needs to be addressed. So whether they went about it right or wrong, I think they were trying to say, hey, this needs to be addressed, and nobody was paying attention. So they did what they thought they needed to do.
Yeah. Well, you remember every state has its own laws and policies that govern that state. And the way we went about it, but see, I have to go back on that, because realize that the only really aliens, illegals, or whatever you call it, it's not them, it's the people they call white people. They came from Europe and Asia.
Ooh.
Other places. Those people are going back home. They're trying to go back home. Come on, let's face it. It was Tahoes, Tahoes Indians. They're trying to come back home. Ooh. Yet you tell them you can't come on because you're illegal. The only body in this country is illegal when they come on that boat out of Europe and Asia. You know, they were never born on this continent, but their ancestors were not born on this continent. They were born somewhere else.
But see, in my opinion, as far as the way they handle it, I agree with AJ. They were trying to get their attention, but at the same time, I think though
they got
maybe
the attention
a bit extreme in the way they did it. But I think they have some validity in when they say undocumented workers should not get jobs. Because if we're struggling for jobs for people who are here and have citizenship, why should people who are undocumented, who are not going to pay any taxes into our system, have our jobs? Now, someone has made the argument that they're using somebody's Social Security number to work on. Well, then that presents even another problem, because that's a crime. So,
yeah, but see, then, too, your friend works in the office, and they're giving you a card. But let me share this with the audience. And I live in a place called Toulouse, Louisiana. It's a small, it's 80% black, and most of them blacks are without jobs. They bring a group of Latinos in here every year from Mexico, with 360 of them, to do the farm work during harvest time. Well, when I moved in and asked questions, come to find out these cats don't want no job. They get more money off of welfare, and these mothers on welfare didn't go out and get on a job.
That's the question.
And work every year. That's 360 jobs that blacks can have. They don't want the job.
But that's
now,
the question.
I'm thinking
how do they...
on a daily basis. I own a company myself. I'm trying to help my people.
The question is this. How do they get these things? Is my phone on mute? Hello?
How
was the government allowing them to get... get assistance in these if they're illegal immigrants? How are they able to get welfare? How are they able to get checks and Social Security numbers from the federal government?
They got cousins and in-laws who work in the system. They're citizens, and Jose got a sister named Rodriguez, and she got a job, and she's working in the office, and she's handing out the information.
But see, I think if you're undocumented, when you're discovered in this country, you should be fingerprinted and sent back out of here. And when you return, if you get caught undocumented, then you know that there's some kind of tracking system here where we're keeping up with you. But how are we giving out money to people that we are not fingerprinting enough to even know who we're giving it out to. Because Jose could also be, you know, Jesus and whatever other names he wants to call himself if we don't have any way of tracking him in this country.
Well, I can say something on this and something I seen on TV the other day. They have, especially here in Texas, they have a lot of, there's areas near the border of Texas where there's a lot of gangs going on. And what of these Latin gangs have done is they've locked down arenas where there's a lot of money being made in the cities, because the cities are small. It's pretty much like, I forgot what the city was that they were talking about, but there was two different gangs, two different bordering gangs in this area. And they locked down certain areas of the city. But what they did was they have a ring of making money off of immigrants that were coming in who needed green cards and driver's licenses. And they were trying to go, and they were showing up behind the scenes on how they were going through the process of trying to find these different rings. But it's a system. It's like clockwork. You go, you find this dude, you tell him what you need. He'll go back and get what needs to be done. You make sure to show up with your $200, $300, $500, whatever they're charging. They'll show up with your information. You trade off the money. They gone. And but it's just like clockwork, and it's hard for them to stop it because these are gangs, not like Bloods and Crips. Yeah, but it's more serious. I won't say it's more serious than Bloods and Crips, but it's real serious.
The Mexican Mafia and all that, they've been around a long time. There's a company in Dallas called HB Zachary, one of the largest construction companies in the country. That's all he hires. That's all he hires. We've been in airports and highways and freeways. He imports them in. And then what they do, man, payday, check this out. They call immigration and come get them.
Oh.
I've been in trucking since 64. I'm watching them do that. A certain time of the month, they will call immigration and no green bus to put up on the job site. Y'all see them messing running out. Because they're going back. They ain't got to pay them now.
Hey. That shouldn't happen. That's wrong. But they shouldn't be working in the first place if they're undocumented, don't have the paperwork to be there. I think another problem.
But they're giving them documents, though.
Yeah,
them documents.
The thing about
it, like
the company that's hiring them.
That's what I'm saying.
And the company that's hiring them, because like that, and they're talking. You're right. They got documents. It may be forgery, but they got documents.
Yeah.
But I think another problem with the system is, it makes no sense to me if you have a baby here and you're undocumented that all of a sudden you think you have a right to be here because your baby was born into citizenship here. Actually, I think whoever your mama is and your daddy, that's who your citizenship should be attached to, not the country in which you were born.
But the country went by getting those who were born here. But now let's go a little deeper than that. This is going to sound crazy. But every child that's born in America has a birth certificate. That certificate is really a certificate. It's a note against the national debt this country has. So you need them babies.
Oh.
That's only, see, we ain't taking real good wise going because those birth certificates is actually a note that's held by this country for loans, to get loans against the national debt. Your Social Security card, it's worth about $100,000 when you die against the national debt. $40,000. So it's all about the money. We need
giving
them
a lot of information they ain't ready for right now, brother.
Hey, I'll back off of that, bro.
Y'all ain't even ready for that one. I'll say even something more simple that he can add on to that, because if you'll notice, just what he's basically trying to tell you is that your name is a business, and if you don't believe it, go and check your documents when you get letters in the mail. Some of your documents have lowercase letters, but anytime you get a document for, if it's all uppercase, just because they have you registered as a business, that's not you as a person.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
It's called the Straw Man Act.
Man, hold up.
We talked research about 12 years on this stuff. I have documents in my folder.
Yeah,
wow.
it's something serious. It's something serious.
You know,
that's a whole nother level of the game.
That's all about the money.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question. We skipped one of the questions that I wanted to go to after the teen pregnancy, because we know that if you're having unprotected sex and therefore producing babies, that, you know, you're putting yourself at risk for STDs and possibly HIV and AIDS. So what is it that the government should be doing to try to down the number of AIDS cases because we read a report from the CDC that said 1 in 22 blacks are expected to contract HIV and AIDS in their lifetime. That's crazy numbers.
Wait a minute. That's a prophetic statement. Expected. That means somebody is in the planning business.
Well,
You see,
yeah.
We expect in the next 10 years, 15,000 men will have to die of AIDS. Then who can put them in the community? CDC? That's a plan, sister.
Well, they
think the numbers.
I think I shared the report with I think I sent it to all of you all. That,
see,
that they said 1 in 22.
Projected. That means somebody's got a plan.
But see, I got a plan too. I got a plan how we can fix it. I got
okay.
a plan that first of all, when a brother goes to prison, when he
okay.
comes out, he should be tested before he is released. And if he is positive, I feel that the health department in whatever city he's being released to, along with his parole officer, should be made aware that that brother is HIV positive.
They don't test them when they go in.
They do it already, sister. Come on, man. That's late.
But no. But they're not telling the health department. Because if they were telling the health department, these brothers wouldn't be coming out giving this to all these women.
Yes, they are. They already know about it.
They already know. They
Please, come on. They already know about it.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Now.
Maybe Danielle and I are late. Then how
maybe.
Is it that all the women know? I don't think people would be getting AIDS on purpose.
Please.
Well, at the same time, we'll make them go with a dude that they know that been in prison for years and still go out with him. I mean, come on.
Come on, man.
That's a whole
other
conversation.
You don't think one day you'll be an individual.
You can't speak for all the women.
I don't date prisoners.
Oh, come on,
you can't speak.
Well, not all of us. That's right. We don't all date. But, you know, but a guy may not tell you that he may have a straight, narrow job.
Yeah.
He may not tell you
all
that
right.
he's in prison.
We're going to have to have a whole other conversation on that one. I'm about to go somewhere else with that.
Okay, don't go there. Okay, okay. Let's say this then. Okay, so that said, even back when I was married, when I got ready to go for the marriage license, and this was in the state of Illinois, you had to be tested before they gave you your license. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and I think maybe we should go back to that because that, again, would be another way that they could control the number of cases.
It might be because I'm not sure because I haven't never been married, but I heard that one of my girlfriends was married, and she said she had to get a blood test with her husband, now it's her ex-husband. But a lot of people, everybody I know, I'm going to Ohio to get married, so obviously Ohio will just marry anybody.
A long time ago, beloveds, every state, you have to have a blood test and wait to get the returns on the blood test for allow you to get married because all bloods get mixed. That law was broke down around 69. They opened up the state line where you get married anywhere. You need a blood test. A few held on to it. I agree, you should have kept that, but it changed. Laws have changed.
We need to go back to that.
Yeah, but we're going back. You got.
But I'm just saying that
we're going back.
By newly elected officials, you know, we have some ideas y'all might want to take up there with y'all. You know, because I think this is some stuff that, you know, a lot of times people forget that people, just common folk, have some good ideas sometimes. So we're just putting it on their minds that, you know, maybe this is some stuff they need to think about because we're talking about topics that are out of control.
Right.
And they almost seem unfixable, but there's always a solution to a problem. You just need to get the right amount of people with some good ideas together to figure it all out, and I think that's what we're doing today.
Did my president say that in one of his speeches, we're going to bring the public in and go open a live internet line with your suggested ideas, we look at all of them? He said it in one of his speeches.
Oh, President Barack
Obama said
that?
He said it in one of his speeches.
It has not done it yet. I did not know that. I also thought that free condoms should be available at the health department. You know, so, you know, people, you know, I mean, we spend money on everything else. We might as well try to spend money on trying to help people stay safe. So I think it's many things that the government can be doing to.
You know what, sis? That's our problem. We count on the government to do things that we need to do for ourselves and our community.
But I'm just saying, but, you know, the thing is.
Yeah.
I agree. But the problem is, we count on the government to do everything. We need to do some things ourselves.
I'm really tired of the government.
Yeah, come on now. We put everything on the government.
Dependent on the government.
Yeah, that's too much. That's what controls your life. That's too much control of your life. The government has too much control of your life now. Take your life back. Use some common sense.
But see, you know, but yeah. I mean, and there's some common sense, but you know what? I mean, the thing is, for those that don't have enough common sense to protect themselves, then maybe we should put some solutions out there to help them protect them, because they're threatening all of us.
No, you can't do that.
You can't do that?
That's against their rights. You can't do that.
Well, you know what? I'm just saying, because, listen, I'm concerned for the rest of us. So I'm saying it's just, you know, we're just kicking some ideas around about how to fix a problem that is spinning out of control, because 1 in 22 blacks, that's crazy. Those numbers are crazy.
You know,
that means you can go and sit in a room with 300 people and just start 1, 2, 3, 4, you, 1, 2, 3, you know, I mean, or 1, 2, 3, 22, that's you, and then, I mean, so on and so forth. And that's crazy. 1 in 22? That
was a question. Can I ask you a question? Who's doing the math?
The CDC?
No, that's what I'm talking about. So if we went out and made our own survey and checked all these places out and see if we really got AIDS, no. We're taking what CDC say on the media. These are their projections. Have
that's
we done
research
ourselves? No. We talked to our black doctors? No. Talked to our black nurses? No.
But some
who's really got AIDS
to
in these clinics?
How you got to know?
You got
to
go
and
ask questions. You got people that work in hospitals and clinics and communities. They can tell you the majority of folks with AIDS are not black people. They are Caucasians.
Okay, y'all, I was trying to save the world, but okay. I just want some solutions to this, because it's affecting us at the greatest numbers, and that's concerning and alarming, because
based on their numbers.
Okay. Well, listen, those were my ideas.
Ideas. Remember, let's be real. We're not controlling the counting. That's like census and all that stuff. Who's doing the counting?
The government.
Thank you.
Well, then, okay, then let's move on. I tried, y'all. Okay, so let's talk about this. I really don't know. I'd love to know how y'all think about it. I'm like not sure. Should we legalize marijuana or should we legalize drugs? Coon and I talked about this last night. Coon, what did you say?
I said I know a lot of people that I know of people that smoke marijuana, but they don't smoke marijuana for the purpose like everybody else do. I mean, some of these people out here got some bad tempers, and they need to calm down.
Okay, so this levels them out.
Yeah. I know, a few of them. So, I mean, that's their thing. That's what they do. I can't, you know what I'm saying, speak for grown people, but I know how they are when they're not, just like people that smoke cigarettes. You know, but those people get addicted, you know, and that's another level. But, you know, like I said the other day when we talked, as far as stuff like some of the other creative stuff, like they got, you know, the meth and whatnot.
Right.
Man, no. They need to hold up on that. That's definitely not what's up.
Okay, so I'm speaking
from the effects that I've seen from different TV shows. Like, I've never met a person that does meth, but
yeah,
from the shows and the people and the results, it's not the business.
Yeah, I've been to
AJ Houston. Should they legalize drugs?
I would say not.
Oh, not even marijuana.
I would say not.
Radio broadcast.
I still would say no, because I think right now there's a whole lot of problems with things that we're trying to do as far as economics. Now marijuana would make a lot of money for the government if they legalize it.
Yeah, but then, taxes and all that stuff.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but then it would also make a whole lot of problems for the same. I think we're in the same
but,
era,
I mean,
like bootlegging.
It's
going to eventually be legalized.
Wait,
hold on. It's going to eventually be legalized, but it's kind of like bootlegging was back in the day.
Yeah, it's
going
to get there eventually.
Yeah, it's gonna get there eventually. But bootlegging, there was so many problems with bootlegging, but it eventually came. But there's a whole lot of things that need to be addressed.
And so, the thing is,
they
don't want to control it. Cool.
If you
legalize that, a lot of dope deals out of business.
But if it really didn't work, though, why they got stores of it in California? Really?
Worked.
Really? I mean, they have stores. They got different styles and everything. If they already got a setup. They already got it set. It's not like, you know, there's no store for meth. There's no cocaine store. There's no crack store. they don't even have, if it was that serious, they'd beat and try this.
Yeah. They kept going to Amsterdam and smoke all the water smoking to go over there.
Yeah, but, you know, they already have setups to already prove a point. Like, yeah, we'll do it over here, but the rest of y'all, that's not what's up. Y'all keep on fighting and sending people to jail. But we got a whole city. But if you want to come live in California, we got a whole store waiting on you.
Right. You know, I don't know the name is talking, but there's a line of a good thoughts on the thing. But I keep going back to the whole thing. They make money on prisoners. I'm in the textile. We haul a lot of cotton. Right now, the biggest fight now is between the prisons making clothes and the outside producers. They can't compete with the federal government and the textile plants.
Wow.
And even more importantly, the people who are making money off of those prisoners, these prisons, 60-70% of them are privately owned?
Yes.
They're not owned by the government?
Yeah.
Hello?
You can buy stock in prisons.
The government is making money off of them, though. They're making big bucks.
Yeah, but if you got families making money off of this, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's somebody family.
I'm on about full prisons. They're making big money.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you guys. Should they legalize prostitution, then?
Might as well.
Why is that?
Didn't even take a second thought. Didn't even take a second thought.
It's the oldest profession. Now, this is what I say. I say legalize it because they are working every day, oldest profession in the world, and they ain't paying no taxes. So why not?
Yeah. That's why they go to jail to pay the taxes.
What, that's why they what?
Go to jail.
So
pay the taxes. Most pimps go to jail for tax evasion, not for pimping. Tax evasion, because they do pay the tax. When prostitutes go to jail, the bail's going to make money, the jail makes money, the judge make money, they make it, they make money.
So, okay. How you going to regulate her? That was my only problem.
Crime pays. Crime pays.
Because
you're
not like,
pays.
See what?
Crime does pay. It pays the judge. The housing,
yeah, already.
The running of the running, it's all about the money. Please, it's all about the money, people.
But see, I say tell them that, you know, that they can be legal, come out of the, you know, the shadows, and make them all be mandatory age tested, and tax them.
Check China, check India.
Sounds like, what is that, Las Vegas?
Yeah, Las Vegas, that's it.
My bad.
Come to Las Vegas, please check them out.
My bad.
Because, see, really, it's... To me, it's about a sin, not a crime. That's just really how I feel about that. I don't think that's a crime. I think that's a sin.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, welcome to planet Earth. Welcome to planet Earth. This is how we do things. This is how we do things. It goes down here. It goes down.
I mean, so we're really bottlenecking the jail systems and stuff over stuff that really doesn't matter, because I really don't think anybody really cares if someone, you know, sells their body or not. So,
it's about the money.
I'm sorry?
It's about the money.
Yes, it is.
It's all about the money.
At the end of the day, it boils down to M-O-N-E-Y, that dollar bill, y'all.
So everybody agrees we should legalize prostitution.
I don't care.
Do what you got to do.
People have,
do what you got to
do.
They
have sex with anybody anyway.
Straight up.
This is true. Well, then, let me skip over to here. Churches. I mean... And I hate to bring up Eddie Long again because I've harped on him 2 weeks. and we talked about how much money he could be possibly bringing in. And so if he really, you know, is bringing in $500,000-$600,000 a Sunday, and maybe he wasn't as jolly as we thought he was, shouldn't he be paying taxes on some of that money?
Remember, he's a corporation.
Exactly, he's a corporation. So shouldn't a corporation be paying some taxes?
Yeah. I think religious institutions should not be considered as non-profit because they're clearly making profits. They should have to pay taxes as well. If they can sit up here and have a shop and they're selling tapes and shirts and everything else, they should be able to be paying. They should be paying taxes. So I don't think that just because they're a religious organization, they shouldn't pay taxes. They should pay taxes too. It's a multi-million-dollar organization.
The deal about that is until they get caught or someone turn them in, they should have enough agents to go around to investigate all these churches and these little storefronts and these little things, so they can let them do what they do until they get caught. Once they get caught, they pay big.
Okay. see, Danielle had a good point. They really take the church and hide a lot of other businesses under that umbrella, because all those books, stuff that they're selling, and all those tapes, a lot of money is generated through that.
Let me ask you, a nonprofit organization, how many for-profit businesses can they own?
The church?
Yeah. I said, according to Texas, a 501c of federal law, a nonprofit can own as many as 10 private businesses as long as they're showing that they put money into the nonprofit.
Wow.
And that's legal.
So they could be getting over like a fat rat. I think they should pay tax.
Yeah?
They are getting over like fat rat.
Yeah.
Sounds like some of y'all need to run for office. I think that's what needs to happen.
Thank you.
Well, listen, we just put it out there. We just telling them, listen, since y'all getting ready to go up there, we just got a couple ideas we want to put on you, because it's ridiculous the way they're doing some of this, and they keep saying, you know, that we got a deficit, we got a deficit. We could clear the deficit if we taxed prostitutes and the churches.
You want
to
clear
the deficit? At the same time, it goes back to the point. I got a bad comment, but I just really got to say it. With Eddie Long, that could be twice. The church.
Wow.
And then he was, you know, because he was like a John, because he was paying them. He was paying them.
Ooh. So you also don't say that.
I know.
Victims
of
being prostitutes.
Well, anyway,
what's a prostitute do? What's a prostitute do? They accept money
for
sexual
favors.
Right.
Oh, never accuse the victim of being the, no,
committed.
They're not a victim.
How is that a victim? He was not 6 years old. A victim is six. They don't know better. These were clearly big-sized boys, teenagers, who knew that having sex with a man and also their pastor was wrong. They're not victims.
No.
You know, they need to pay, too.
Hey,
sorry.
Hey, no,
see.
Check it out. My opinion of it is, it's just like, we had a couple of conversations on it, is that, you know, I think they can be listed as victims, but see, the problem with that is, when you began taking funds for doing something, being paid tuition or getting a car for doing something, and you keep doing it, when the money stops, it almost looks like the college football player that thought he was going to make the pros that blew his knee out.
Yep.
You know, that he'd been taking money all these years, and now he say, hey, man, they paid me. They ain't paying me no more, but they paid me to... As a
matter,
until the actual truth come out, I still believe that people are innocent until proven guilty. But what it looks like. So we can go on from there.
No, you know what? Can I tell you something? To be perfectly honest with them, they are not victims. Only because if that man laid hands on them, made them do something that they knew was morally wrong, they should have said something when he first did it. Why do it for 2-3 years, and then when you're old enough and he's using you so he don't have no more use for you anymore, then you want to go out and tell? You should have told that when he first laid his hands on you. You should have said that when he first gave that ass to you the wrong way.
That's exactly what I was saying with the pay-for-play, like the college players and the other thing. I'm saying it's exactly the same thing. You're taking money for something.
The age of consent was 16 in Georgia. So
that's right.
I mean, I don't consider 16-year-olds mature adults. But if you want to look at it the way
you
are,
you ain't got to be a mature adult, but you know right
from
wrong.
But that would go back to something that we've all been talking about at the end of the day, that it keeps coming back to, that the pen is mightier than the sword. These laws that are being put in place are setting up for things like this to take place.
Yep.
Just like I say this in Louisiana, I'm going to shut up. In Louisiana, they had it set up before, and people didn't realize until the whole Katrina thing happened. They had it set up where you could kill somebody, you go to jail, they give you 90 days. If the law could not find anybody to come forward or not enough evidence within 90 days to put them away for good for stuff like murder, they had to let them go.
Wow. Yep.
By law.
Yep.
You can't do that in Texas. And when that Katrina thing happened, they came out and they was going to Houston and trying to kill our folks then, and they put people in jail for Louisiana, and they say, oh, you can't do nothing with me. You got 90 days. And they was like, what are you talking about?
You got
90 days to hold me down. They like, nah, we don't work like that down here. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
These laws that are being put in place are setting up these situations. If 16 was not considered, you know, of age or whatever in that state, and it was changed to 18, he wouldn't be able to reach there. It's like these laws are being set up to put things like this in place, and we go, okay, yeah, this is a 16-year-old. He's not really mature enough to make these real decisions. But wow. Look at these people who are putting in law. And then look at the better question is, I would like to find out what group of people sat down and came up and said this should be a law and got it passed. I bet you we'd be interested to see who those people were and where those people are at today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was on the books for a long, long period of time back when people were marrying at 14.
Can I address that?
Yes, sir.
According to Black's Law Dictionary, page 71, word adult, federal law says a young man from age 8 to 14 is an adult. A young girl from 8 to 12 is an adult. And that's federal law. That's under criminal law.
Wow.
That's it, federal. I got the book right here. We can read it to you. And that's where it comes from. If they can try you for murder and make you an adult at 14, because it's on the books, at 14 a young man is an adult. A young girl at 12 is an adult. According to federal law, in criminal law.
Wow.
Black Law Dictionary, page 71.
Wow. Yeah, that's why they charge. That's why when they have murder, they are so quick to charge these young kids as an adult.
A civil common law. We say civil, he's legal. Killing.
Well, then, you know. I'm sorry, go ahead. Since we're talking about kids, let's talk about the dropout rate. How can we get that down? I mean, the
we
number.
We mentioned earlier. You've got to change the education system. We're going to address it. The system is still old and antiquated.
Yes.
Okay.
Very much so. There are too many people that are out here in these streets, and I'm personally, this is Kundalini, I'm going to say it, a lot of rappers out here that come into music that should not have graduated. I get too many rappers that send me text messages that still cannot spell and have the nerve to tell me it's shorthand.
Wait. They graduated?
Oh, yeah.
You heard me.
Does that have to do with that No Child Left Behind?
That's a joke.
No, I'm just saying. But for real, that No Child Left Behind.
Yeah.
They say No Child Left Behind, but at the same time, these kids ain't learning nothing. So when we can't leave them behind their grade level, but actually they are being left behind, so they don't know nothing and you pass them on.
Now, who came up with No Child Left Behind?
What happened to Head Start? We had Head Start now, took No Child Left Behind. What's next?
Wait, well, let's ask you. Who came up with No Child Left Behind?
Bush.
Okay, enough say it.
But look what it's doing to us.
Oh, exactly. But see, what I think that there should be things that go on in the school system. I think if the child is having problems, first of all, I think a parent or guardian should check in with the school every 30 days. You need to know what your child is doing every 30 days.
Yeah, with these kids, you better do it every 2 weeks like a paycheck.
Listen, every 2 weeks.
I don't know what's going on, you know, in other states, but in Wayne County in Detroit, our Wayne County prosecuting attorney, what she's doing is she's saying, hey, parents, if you don't go to parent-teacher conference and check up on your kids, we sending you to jail.
That's
and
right.
People, they're having an uproar about this. They prepared
to go to jail.
We're
going to feed the family.
Right. You know, they're remember, see, that's what they're saying.
Yeah. So that don't make no sense. They're going to put the child parent in jail, and now we're all going on welfare.
Well, all they asked you to do was show up and see about a child, though.
Many of these families are struggling just to meet a paycheck. He or she go to jail, that's it.
You know, they can do
that.
As far as I'm concerned, they can do the parent-teacher thing over the phone, but at least check in and see about your child.
And go with your worker, then why can't you go to your school? When you have to go, you have to see your worker. When you have to get assistance or you want to get WIC or anything, you have to go and see a worker. So the same time that you can take out to see that worker, you can go and see that teacher, too, if it's only five minutes of your time to see what your child is doing.
But listen to what you just said, though. You said go and see the teacher. We're talking about a PTA meeting.
Yeah. That's different.
That's not you setting up at convenience. That's at somebody else's convenience.
But when you think about it,
I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying, look at the
situation. Yeah. The reality of it.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you shouldn't check in. I'm just saying, look at the setup. It's like, okay, I'm going to make you come in on Wednesday from 7 to 9, and if you got to work, it don't matter. You should have been here, so I'm going to send you to jail.
That ain't fair.
No, that's not.
But if you, but it should be, I know it should be something wrapped around it, even if you just go and see that, see your, see that teacher. If you want
to get
my
what they're saying.
Well,
that's the media for you. They need to give more details.
Right. Yeah.
If you're not saying it, as far as I'm concerned, you didn't say it. You didn't say that.
You know what?
You didn't say if they can go in and talk to them, you putting it out there on a certain note. And see, that's a problem with that I don't like about media is they give you just enough information to have people going crazy, and then it might be something in place where they can fix it, but that's the reason why I'm bringing it up. They need to explain themselves more, not give enough for information for people if there is a setup around it, for people to get all mad and upset, and they don't really even know what's going on. That's how they win off of us.
Let me jump here on something else then.
How many y'all have children on the broadcast today?
I'm sorry?
How many y'all have children in school on the broadcast today?
I'm a teacher.
I
have a son who's going to school in Kimball. You can only see him at a certain time. If I go there just to check on him, well, you can't come now. You can't go in and see him. Why? When he's in so-and-so, you got to come back in so-and-so time. But this time I drive from Louisiana to Dallas, which is about 5.5 hours. You go check on my son when I'm in town. You can't see him because so-and-so is going on. Or you can't go because reading time is going on. I just want to see him, you know. You can't see him.
Wow.
Mm. But sometimes you can see your children, and sometimes you cannot.
I can see them having a controlled environment. I don't know if it needs to be that extreme, but
right.
I can see them trying to structure
it.
Just not coming and going at all times and all hours, you know, while they're conducting classes.
No, but if I want to see him, I should be going that class and sit down and observe him in classroom.
Okay, I agree. And speaking of observing in the classroom, I've noticed that the work that they're doing today ain't like the work we did. I mean, the whole they need tools, seriously, because if they bring their homework home, their parents can't even help them. Because
they don't understand it.
Exactly.
Like
nobody.
That, like that just started. That didn't just start. That was happening when I was in school.
So your mom and them can help you with your homework?
You better get on. No. That ain't going down. Come on now.
I think that would help the dropout rate if they had tutors available. So if your child is struggling and he can't get the support at the home because there's nobody that understands what he's going through in terms of the classroom, then some tutors should always be available for your child.
The tutor don't know.
But
and just for the record, you know, I ain't trying to say that my parents was dumb.
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying? We're talking about, you know, middle school and beyond. You know, I could have graduated as a sophomore, so I was you know, I had a little bit of smartness to me, you know, on in my head. So I don't want to make my parents look dumb. Shouts out to mom.
Okay, you just
and dad. Shouts out to dad too.
Okay.
Well then go here with me. So if your child is missing school, let's just say repeatedly, and let's just say 30 days he hasn't been in school. Do you not think that CPS should maybe go and investigate the home and see if there is some physical, mental, or sexual abuse going on in that home? Because it's a reason that child's not showing up. So should they be alerted at the 30-day mark that there's a problem here?
Maybe just
not in 30 days. They could be dead in 30 days. I think that if they miss school within 5 days.
So in 2 weeks, you're going to call CPS, though, and say, hey, you know, you're going to get a doctor and knock at the door in 2 weeks from CPS?
Can they call the police to go to home and see if he's even there?
Police don't have time. They have other issues, especially in cities like, you know, Mississippi and Detroit and Chicago. They don't have time
Is it that many kids missing for 30 days?
Come on now.
I'm just saying the
dropout rate will tell you that. What's the number on the dropout rate?
I see plenty of cops posted up at Taco Bueno and Taco Bell and all that kind of stuff. I mean, plenty of times. So I mean, for real, 5 minutes.
So they need to be going down and checking to see why your child ain't in school.
I mean, it might give them something to do. They can't catch no crime, so they might as well be able to catch something else instead of beating us up on the streets. I'm just saying, though.
You come on.
Okay, so we know the police maybe should get more involved, and then once the police, you know, get involved, then probably CPS will come behind that.
Guess what?
The
police cannot do everything. The police cannot look after our kids, fight crime off the streets. Police can't do everything. So it's up to the parents and the teachers and like you said, CPA, they can come. But I mean, in Michigan, they're not worth a crock of crap. So I'm just saying.
But nobody said it should stop with the police. I'm just saying, you know, as much as I see them riding around,
looking for things, looking, never finding, looking for things, maybe, you know, that might be something that they can do. I'm not going to stop with the police. I don't think it stops there at the end of the day. It's about us as a community building a better relationship with each other so that if Tommy ain't showing up at the crib, we all should have been calling to find out what happened.
That's, I'm with you on that.
Okay. Yeah, that's true, but you know, I'm
going to
tell you.
If you, everybody's doing what you told your parents, they whipped your behind, told your parents, and they took care of you. And that time, we kept a lot of stuff down. But now, don't touch my child.
But you know what? If you see somebody's child roaming
the neighborhood, you can't even touch your child.
This is true.
The law says you cannot touch your child. If you whip your kid, you're going to jail.
Thank
you. Nobody else can touch a child. You can't even touch a child.
I wouldn't mind. I told him, when I go to jail, we're
all
going to jail.
You know,
just remember, y'all, he said it live on Blog Talk Radio right here on Center State.
Right here on Center State.
Hey, Lord, I would touch him up.
Talk about the foreclosure rate. How can we fix losing houses at an alarming rate? You know, and then they just recently found out that the banks didn't even go about some of the foreclosures like they should have. They had inexperienced people working the paperwork. So
more money.
Oh, I mean, I don't know how it's going to be more money when you go back and reclaim your house after you get you an attorney.
Over again.
Say what?
That was an over again. Let me ask you a question. What's the most expensive car in Iowa today?
I don't know. A Lamborghini?
Used car.
Who?
A used car. I'm just trying to get sold. We sold it again.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Over and over and over again. Gotcha.
Thank you. It's all about the money.
It's all about the money. But see, I think there's ways that we can fix that. Because, first of all, I think there's no way that you should get bailed out because you're having trouble this month. Nobody takes into consideration that I could have trouble 2 months from now. So we going to do a bailout. Let's just wipe the slate clean on everybody and say, okay,
no.
let's do a modification on
wait,
everybody's mortgage.
So you tell me this. I'm sorry, but you tell me this. So I work a little job making $10 an hour. Okay, that's less than $20,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
My house is almost paid for, but yet and still I go take out an equity loan or a loan out on my house or refinance my house knowing I can only pay $500 a month plus my bills, but then I'm going to go take out a loan and then my bill, and I agree to my bill going up from $500 to $1,500, knowing good and well I can't pay for it.
But you don't realize, is when they hurt, though, you hurt, because every foreclosure on your street brings down the value of your house. So
that is true. But at the same time, you know, some people was foreclosed. That house next door to me was real nice, and they foreclosed and lost off $2,000, and I can go buy it for $2,000. So that's good on me. But what I'm saying is you knew that you could not afford that balloon weight 3 years from now, which you was hoping and praying on the wing that you would go from $10 an hour to $30 an hour. And you don't have no education.
You should have never had a loan that would allow you to have gotten into that house.
You should have never allowed yourself to get in that.
Thank you.
Oh, and I agree.
Decisions that we make for ourselves. We can't, like you said earlier, we can't depend on the government to do things. It's the same if we're talking about protecting ourselves from AIDS or we're protecting ourselves so we can have a roof over our head. We should not depend on nobody else to do anything for us. We should have the responsibility to do it for ourselves. I'm not going to get myself in a situation. Because I want to drive a Lexus for 3 months, I'm going to buy one. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take care of my family.
We're going to rename her Sister Soldier because she's serious about this.
She's serious.
And I appreciate that.
What I don't understand, you go buy a car for $52,000. They give you 6 years to pay it off. You buy a house, they want you to get it, they want 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that. A house, you buy a car for $52,000. You got 7 year payments on it. So buy a house, they want either 15 or 30 year note. Got a problem.
Wow. See, but you know what? The thing is, I just don't see how it's going to be fair, though.
It's not fair.
It's only fair. We made it. And we made it fair when we said, oh, I take that money. I signed my life on that dotted line. So it's fair. You shouldn't have done it. I don't have no sympathy for nobody that put yourself in a situation that they did it to yourself. I didn't do it to you. You did it to yourself. You knew you couldn't afford that.
But you know what? With interest rates at 3.5%, they're modifying certain people's loans. It's not fair that somebody is at 13%, and just because their credit doesn't allow them to refinance right now, and you having some problems, they allow you to get a 5%. And this other joker, just because he's able to make that payment at 13%, he still gets the 13%. I see some unfairness there.
It's unfair that
you didn't pay your bill, and that's why you ain't got that 5%, right? Based on what we did. Because, see, I can't get mad. If my credit bad, I can't get mad because I go get a car and they tell me 22%. I should have paid that credit card off when I was 18 years old, and maybe I wouldn't have no 22% interest rate. I have a 0% interest rate, just like those 700, 800 credit score having numbers. If my credit score was 500, see, that's the thing. We mess up. And we don't pay our bills, and then we get mad. It is fair. Pay your bills. Do what you got to do. Take up responsibility, even in the Bible. We had to pay our debt. So pay your debt. You ain't got that problem.
But it's not fair, though, that my neighbor is 3 months behind. She calls her mortgage company and says, I'm about to lose my house. And they say, okay, I tell you what. I'll do a loan modification for you and put you at 5%. Can you
make money?
And that person said, well, okay, yeah, I can afford it now. And they keep their house, but because I didn't call and get the modification, I'm going to keep paying at 13% because I'm going to be penalized because I'm
able. Did you listen to what you just said?
Because
you didn't call.
Well, now the modification program works like this. If you're not behind, you can't remodify. I mean, you can't get a modification loan, which is crazy.
If you're not behind, you can't get them.
I must
have got lost in this whole situation. I thought the whole point was to pay on time to begin with.
Oh no!
Yeah,
that's what you would think. But everything is screwed up with this modification program. If you call today and you're current on your note and you say, you know what, rates are at 3.5%, and I'm going to be behind in a couple of months because, you know, they're going to lay me off, they say, in 30 days. They're going to say, well, you know what, call us back after you're 90 days late, and we'll see if we can't modify you. How
this is it, though. But, see, you're modifying on what? You're modifying on the – you already got this high balance, so you're just modifying on the high balance, so you're just putting extra on what you already have, right?
Right.
I'm not in the mortgage, but I'm just saying you're putting extra money on what you already owe. So do I want to pay? I would rather pay my 13% and keep it at that than to pay to get a 5% and have that interest rate carried on to what I already owe, and I'd be on more when I was paying 13. I'd still be paying longer or whatever. So with 13, I just keep it because I pay off my house quicker.
Didn't the governor say something about doing a program where they were going to deal with just the assessed value, whatever the tax assessed value was today? They were going to modify your loan at that. Well, how you going to do that with the person down the street who's 3 months behind, but then tell me that I'm upside down, but you're not going to because I'm still able to pay my 13%? There seems like there's some unfairness there.
It's all about being dependent on the government.
I'm still lost. Because I'm like, every time you keep telling me, you're telling me that you're already paying on time, and I'm like, I just don't get it.
But see, you're not going to get any help because you're not behind. But because the person...
It sounds like, I ain't trying to be funny and maybe I'm wrong. It just sounds like somebody trying to get over because they mad because they're paying on time, and they happen to be paying more, and they would like to pay less. It's not that they can't afford it. They're paying on time.
No, you're going to bail them out because they got behind. I can't get any help
to get mine down to the assessment. Just let me pay on my assessment.
I'm
a good customer, and I've been paying on time. I don't deserve some type of
credit.
Okay,
well, then say, like, do it with credit cards and stuff. Like, when you pay good and you pay good for a year, maybe they give you a lower interest as a better benefit as a customer, not because of the reason that you paid it on time. That part didn't make sense to me. That's why I got lost.
If you're paying on time today, not behind, they will not give you any breaks.
Of course, you're paying on time. We making our money. Why would we do that? We don't have a customer service appreciation program. You know, it's just...
Okay. Well, you know what? You put it on your shoes then. You loan two people. You loan somebody, both of them, $5,000. Wouldn't you want them to, then that person that's paying your money, you trust them. You're gonna be happy that they're paying you your money. Do you want them to say, okay, well, you know, that's okay. You don't have to pay me anymore because you're not struggling and they is. So I'm just gonna give you a break.
And then, why don't I think at the 13% now, if I was smart, I'll just let myself get 3 months behind and call in and tell them
that's dumb. Because then you get 3 months behind, it's affecting your credit, and you're getting that 5%, but you can't get no car when your clunker clunk out on you.
Now, if it's somebody that owns like 30 or 40 homes,
okay,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you probably, you go make some change, because then you can take all that money, put it in another interest, and all that money, even though your credit is bad, you making another set of money over here from interest, from money sitting up in the bank, you got your new car, you good. I don't think it's going to work.
What's missing is that, see, the market is down, so whatever you're paying is still not equated with what your house is worth.
Yeah,
but
correct.
It's quite similar to, let's say you've been a Sprint customer for the last 15 years,
mm-hmm.
and your phone is messed up. You have insurance on your phone, but they still want you to pay the $50 or whatever. But if you're a new customer at Sprint, you can become a new customer and for $49 get the brand new BlackBerry.
Yep.
But you've been there 15 years, but you got to pay $249. You get a $100 credit, but you're still paying $149 for a phone that somebody else is getting free because they're a new customer.
New customer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying so. I was trying to bring that up because that's what it's similar to, is that the people that's struggling, trying to keep everything up, keep everything balanced, are not the ones being helped. It's almost like the bailout. The bailout was, you know, the people that only had paper money, but they was buying stock that caused real.
But that's what I'm saying. Going back to your point, we talking about Sprint. Sprint got customer service, right? Is there a customer service?
No, ain't no customer service.
We might have a financial institution that we need to invest into. Maybe we need to get into the housing customer service appreciation program.
But I'm saying though,
maybe we can create that and make some money. It's an idea. I mean, because it's not there. Because that seems like that's the only missing part to this, is nobody's getting customer service appreciation. So let's find a way to create a housing customer service appreciation system, make some money, get a building, put some people up in there, get some 800 numbers, and make it happen. Let's get it
happen.
Wow.
Now, can I ask you this? Are we too dependent on other people helping us out? Are we not satisfied with doing things for ourselves? Do we really want? Because like you said, why I can't get no help? Are we just too dependent on other people? Can we stand alone, or do we always need a crutch?
Well,
no, that's just the way that we get trained, because they put it on TV like that's what's supposed to be.
Welfare society.
Well, now we're back. Now
we're
back.
Welfare society looking for handouts.
The foundation of our education
is welfare.
The way we've been taught is What happened in the black community was actually we wanted to be like everybody else, because
mm-hmm.
all the jobs that Hispanics are working now were companies owned by African Americans, janitorial services, yard services, and
mm-hmm.
you know, cleaning services, and all those. But we wanted to be corporatized, so everybody wanted to leave those companies that they owned to work for somebody that owned a company. So when they did that, and then they found out that the jobs and the companies they had could have been making big money if they'd stayed with it to make it a big company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now, and we left there to go to corporate, and the last hire first fired is always the rule.
Yes, right.
So when all this downsizing came, we done left our yard company and our cleaning company, and we was working for IBM, and IBM, we was a manager of something, and IBM laid us off. Now we're trying to go back to the yard company. Now we're mad because somebody else took the business that we didn't want.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, guys, we're down to our last 2 minutes of the show. I'd like to say this has been a great discussion. I really enjoyed it. I think hopefully we put something on the minds of everybody out there that November 2nd is crucial. Get out and vote. To Mr. Kundalini, that's DJ in the Dallas area and club promoter, one of the hottest DJs, I guess I should say, in the Dallas area. Hottest club promoters. Thank you for joining us. Miss Danielle Coleman of the Danielle Coleman Show here on Blog Talk Radio. Tune in, check her out. She has a great show. And to Mr. Kohan Yashabaya. He is the author of The Other Side of Slavery, The Untold Story of Slavery in the Americas. Thank you all so much for joining the discussion today. Remember again, November 2nd is Election Day. On behalf of AJ and myself, thanks to everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for having us.
Bye.
Bye.
Peace.
Peace.